I'm Lynn Ford. Thanks for joining me for a Friday discussion that's guaranteed to help you save a little money. It's your giving that enables WBCL to be there for you. And a special thanks to the Child Within, Dolls Handmade Doll Clothes and Accessories, produced in Montgomery, Michigan, and sent around the nation. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. If you want to start a lively, emotional conversation, just mention healthcare. In their book, America's Cheapest Family, released in 2007, Steve and Annette Economidis wrote, "Healthcare and insurance costs are assaulting the household budget. Sadly, things are getting worse as premiums skyrocket and prices rise for medical procedures and prescription drugs." Here we are, 6 years later, and the couple's words remain true. But here's the pertinent question to ask. Is there anything you can do to cut healthcare costs? And that answer is yes. On today's Mid-Morning, the authors of America's Cheapest Family, published by Three Rivers Press, discuss insurance, ways to resolve medical claims disputes, and how to save money on prescription drugs, and a lot more. America's Cheapest Family is a well-deserved moniker the Economidis have definitely earned. Steve and Annette have managed to feed their family of seven on just $350 per month, pay off their first home in just 9 years, and purchase a second, larger home, buy cars with cash, take vacations, put their kids through college without loans, and put money in savings. Without degrees in finance or six-figure salaries, this couple has created a comfortable, debt-free life for themselves and their kids. Now, they've joined us twice before on Mid-Morning discussing the Money Smart Family System and ways to save money at the grocery. Today, they're back, this time to share the Money Smart way to better health and medical benefits, and we're awfully glad about that. Email or Facebook your questions now, and we'll include them in the Q&A at 10:30 when we open the phone lines. Our email is midmorninglive@wbcl.org, and you can like us via the WBCL homepage, wbcl.org. Get a myriad of money-saving tips and access other resources at the Economidis website, and we're linking to that from the Mid-Morning schedule page. One more thing to tell you, we're giving away a copy of America's Cheapest Family. You have until 11 to register on the Mid-Morning homepage. That's WBCL.org. Click on Programs and then Mid-Morning. Good morning, Steve and Annette Economidis, and welcome back to Mid-Morning.
Good morning, Lynn.
It's great to be with you again.
Wonderful. Well, let's start with medical insurance. It really offers our first line of protection against physical and financial disaster. You say if you don't have it, get it. People don't argue about the need for insurance. It's the cost that's the sticking point. So how can we get affordable insurance?
Yeah, cost is definitely an issue, and if we think it's expensive now, wait till it's free. Obamacare is definitely going to change the playing field. We don't know exactly what that's going to do, but we've got to protect our family. You buy insurance based on the probability of an issue coming up. And, you know, you may die. Life insurance is important. But you're very likely, more likely, to become ill or sick, and that's why we need to have insurance. But buying it, how are we going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many ways. If you have lower income, obviously state Medicaid, Medicare are definitely options. Getting a part-time job working for a place like Starbucks or Barnes & Noble or something like that to get the health insurance you need is another way to protect your family. But more importantly, when you do have it, you've got to know your policy. And this is an area where a lot of people think, you know, I'm not going to sit up at night and read my policy. Gee, that's like, you know, that's like watching paint dry. I don't want to do that. But that is the very thing that's going to help you get the benefits you need. There was a time when one of our kids, after we adopted them, needed some occupational therapy.
And I
had to figure out how to operate within the framework of our insurance.
Yeah, and I read through the whole policy book, and I could not find occupational therapy listed anywhere. And finally, I called the insurance, and I said, I've looked everywhere through our benefits and cannot find occupational therapy listed. She said, oh, sure, yeah, it's in your book. I'm like, yeah, where? She goes, right at the end of all the benefits where it says other services. Yeah, that's where occupational therapy goes.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if I had not called and asked, I would have never figured that out. I may have paid for those services myself, and yet they were covered by our insurance.
No, I don't want to believe that insurance companies are making things like this difficult. I know it's a big area. There are lots of possible expenses. But we have to, and this is one of our key points on insurance, we've got to be bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be assertive, and we have to really get in and learn things, because our doctors aren't going to be the best experts. Our insurance companies aren't going to be looking out for our interests. But here are a few basic things that we have to understand about insurance to protect ourselves financially. And one is, we got to know what our deductible is. And obviously, you know, the days of $250 deductibles, that would be the amount that you would have to pay out of your own pocket before the insurance company started picking up their portion. Those days are pretty much gone. We're carrying higher deductibles. I mean, we carry a $5,000 deductible, and because we're self-employed. But that's the amount of money we're going to pay out of pocket before our insurance starts paying their percentage, which is called the co-insurance. In our case, that's they pay 70% after our $5,000 deductible. We pay 30%. But families need to protect themselves, and that would mean possibly building a savings account that would cover your deductible and your co-insurance amount. So in our case, we need to put aside $8,000 to cover ourselves. Now, that sounds like a huge amount, but it's definitely achievable.
Because, Lynn, after we hit the $10,000 mark, which we ended up doing last year...
Annette, excuse me for jumping in, but we're getting some feedback. Do you all have a computer on with the radio show on?
No, we don't.
Okay, because we're hearing a bit of an echo, and I was hoping that was the issue so that we could take care of it on your end. So I'm not sure what's causing that problem,
right,
but we'll try to remedy it. That might
okay.
be better.
Let's try that.
No, it's still there. We're getting an echo.
Is it still there?
And it's only on you, Annette. It's not on Steve.
Huh. I don't know. I'm
leaving. I'm in a different room now.
Anyway, what I was going to say is up to $10,000, you know, after $10,000, the insurance company will cover 100%. So, you know, it's good if you can get to the point where you know what your policy is, you know what your deductibles and your co-insurance are, and you can set that money aside. So if something catastrophic hits you, and I was saying our daughter had 4 knee surgeries last year to try to fix an ACL. The first doctor just really butchered it, and we ended up switching to a different doctor. But it was crazy last year for us with medical bills. So it's real important that you've got money socked away for those emergency situations. We've heard of family after family where the financial situation from an emergency has nearly sunk their whole household.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to inspire people to think about that and sort of to put away some money for a rainy day, so to speak, so you've got that covered. The other thing to think about is copays. A lot of insurances now, even with a high deductible, they'll say, well, to go to your GP is like $35, that's your copay. And that doesn't count towards your deductible, but you'll be allowed to have like 6 visits a year. And so for the average healthy person, that's not an issue. As a matter of fact, it's a fabulous thing. And so look for the details like that in your policy, and make sure that you're kind of counting the cost of all of those as you're putting your policy together and choosing what you think will work best for your family.
Now that Steve has left the room, we are not getting an echo. So, Steve, that was the answer. I know you wanted to be close to Annette during the interview, but you're just going to have to wait an hour, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Here's one other thing that is just amazing about medical care, and that is that there's a thing called a contracted rate. And this just blows my mind. It's like having a super deluxe coupon. If you don't have insurance, for instance, when Abby had her knee surgeries this last year, a bill from the hospital came in at about $25,000. Now, I don't understand why insurance works this way. It makes my blood boil. But the contracted rate, the amount that they would receive or accept from the insurance company, mm-hmm, for the surgery was about $1,800. Now, you talk about a super deluxe coupon, but that is one of the main reasons why we've got to have our insurance coverage and know the have our insurance and know the coverage. But here are other things. We've got to ask a ton of questions to make sure we know what's covered and to get the coverage that's listed in our policy. We've got to make sure that we get in writing whenever there's an override, like when Annette called about the occupational therapy. We get those things in writing so that there's always a backup to confirm that we've got the coverage. And we just got to be really, really assertive on getting the coverage that we are signed up for. But let's talk about, there was a time when Annette had a kidney stone years ago, and we were received a bill 5 years later wanting, and this is how we had to deal with it.
Okay, so first of all, when people say kidney stones are worse than pregnancy and delivery, they are absolutely right. I've only ever had one, and I hope I never have another one for the rest of my life, because I've delivered three babies and it wasn't anywhere close to a kidney stone. But we want to talk about smart ways to resolve medical claims. And the truth is, when you're working through medical claims, you need to literally make a folder. This is like a research project. You need to have things in writing. You need, when you talk to a person, whether it's the hospital, any other medical care provider, the insurance company, you need to write down the day, the name of the person that you talk to, and if it's a common name like Mary, you need to ask for the first letter of their last name or their employee number. You need to write down the time of day that you talk to them, and you just need to start sort of keeping a journal so that eventually, as you're working through the whole thing, you know, if you ever have to work your way up the ladder, you will have some great records to do that.
So practically what we do is we create a folder, and in the front cover of the folder, we staple a piece of paper, and that becomes our phone log. And we write down every time we call, the date and time. Now, here's what happened. Annette had the kidney stone. It was done at a hospital that wasn't covered under our insurance, but it was a desperate situation. She was in a lot of pain. Her doctor had surgical rights at this hospital, so we went there. I had to petition our insurance company in writing to cover the expense as an in-network expense, which covered it way better than an out-of-network expense. They finally agreed. 5 years later, we got a bill saying, "We're sorry, you didn't pay us enough. You owe us $360 on the coverage that you had."
And Lynn, by that time, we had figured that the hospital had actually been overpaid by the insurance company because of all this, you know, recalculating and all that good stuff. And like Steve said, there are companies that will literally go in and audit hospital records, hoping that they can find discrepancies and make money that way. And the rule in our state is you have up to 7 years to correct a mistake. And I was just about ready to throw, we found that kidney stone folder and we were just about ready to throw it away. And I didn't know the rule of law for our state at that point. And I said to Steve, "No, I don't feel good about this. Let's hold on to it for a little bit more." And I'm really glad we did, because then a couple of weeks later we did get this whole auditing company saying we owed more. And Steve talked to the medical board in our state, and he said, "Stop dealing with the billing department, the collections agency, all that stuff. Go to the CFO of the hospital." Steve did. He had pages and pages of notes of people he had talked to. The CFO was very impressed, apologized for what we had been through, and gave us a zero balance. And we realized that when we had navigated through the whole thing originally, we never got that zero balance sheet. So that's really the key.
Mm-hmm. That's the key, is whenever you negotiate something, always get the final statement in writing that you owe a zero balance. It's going to cover your butt and keep the hospital from being able to come back later on. But here are other ways that you can deal with medical claims disputes. Every hospital has a social worker. They're going to help you navigate through the medical claims and the issues that could arise from that. So get to know the social worker. There's a company out there called BillAdvocates.com. They help you negotiate medical bill issues, especially if you've got a serious illness that, you know, is up in the hundreds or 200 thousands of dollars. They have people in every state who will help families work through the issues, and they become your bulldog. They take a percentage of what they save you, but it's a great business, and good people. You've got to keep your records. You've got to be organized about it. And you know, if you have an elderly parent, help them, because you think about dealing with the death of a spouse or an illness of a spouse, being in your 70s or 80s, and having to go through this kind of thing, it's overwhelming. And we're doing this right now with Annette's parents.
Right. So, Lynn, the next topic we wanted to talk about was rules for hospital stays. And I know everybody's not able to do this, but this is what we recommend. Whenever a loved one goes into the hospital, stay with them round the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Develop a notebook. Anybody that comes into the room, ask them, who are you? What are you doing? Get the name of the medicine they're administering, the dosage. We've done this for my parents. I have several siblings that all take turns with that kind of health care. You just cannot trust the hospitals. They're understaffed, they're overworked, and there are going to be mistakes made, and you don't want those mistakes to cost a loved one something very serious going on, or their life even. And so, you know, it got to the point where people knew our family and what we were doing, and they would come into the room and they would just say, this is my name, this mm-hmm. is what I'm doing. And we would just laugh and smile, but they got the drill that we were going to be watching diligently what was going on so there were no mistakes made.
Well, the truth of the matter is hospitals or insurance companies, they're not evil. They're just made up of human beings, and they make mistakes.
Exactly.
And so you're acting as a safeguard for yourself and your family. And when I found the same thing when my insurance forms come. I used to just pay because I assumed it was correct. When it came, if they say I owed money, I owed money. But I have found that there's a lot of crossover in the mail for what's coming to me, what's being paid by my insurance company to my doctor, and sometimes they farm out the billing to somebody else. So there's all this
yes.
network that is not really talking to each other. So I ask questions and I call and say, okay, my bill came. This is what I say I've owed. I'm owed. What's been paid so far by my insurance company? Well, then I know to wait, and I say, I'm going to wait until they've paid you, and then I'll make up the difference when you send me the next bill.
Exactly.
So, the bottom line is, and you two know this, that is tiring. It's tiring to be
yes.
diligent, but if you don't do it, no one else will.
Right. And Lynn, that brings an excellent point. There's something called an EOB, Explanation of Benefit. And basically that, you're right, there's several steps to resolving just ordinary bills without even a conflict. And
right.
the first one is, the provider, whoever you're visiting, doctor, hospital, they submit to your insurance. Then the insurance sends you an EOB, explanation of benefits, saying what they're going to cover, what part's their part, what part is your part, and you need to verify that because there have been mistakes made on those. And then once you get the EOB, then usually after that, the doctor's office will then bill you at a later time and say, okay, we've received the EOB from the insurance, and this is what you still owe us. So
and
you've got to check
when,
all that.
And there are times when doctor's offices miss it. And so, for instance, when we reached our maximum deductible with Abby last year with her four knee surgeries, there was one doctor who sent us a bill for $50. And I know it's only $50, but it's still $50.
And it adds up.
It does. And we knew that we had reached our deductible insurance, should have covered it 100%. So they had to write that off. But they wouldn't have done that if we hadn't known.
Steve, would you clarify something you said earlier when you were talking about Annette's kidney stone surgery? Perhaps it was your daughter's knee surgery, the $25,000 surgery. You said something about the rate that they would accept. Are you saying that the hospital was charging $25, but they would have accepted $1,800? That was their bottom line fee for it.
That's their contracted rate. That's like a 95% discount.
So basically, Lynn, what that means is, if you don't have medical insurance, you may think you owe the hospital $25,000, but yet if you did have medical insurance, that price would be $1,800. So what we say to people is, even you can't not afford to have medical insurance. So even if you've got issues, have a real high deductible, but have something
mm-hmm.
so you can get a contracted discounted rate from the insurance company.
Or knowing that Every insurance company has a contracted rate that is lower than the list rate on procedures.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have insurance, go in and negotiate. Everything is negotiable. And so you go into the hospital and you say, look, I owe you $25,000. That's what you billed me. What will you accept for this procedure? I will pay you cash. Or I want to be put on payment terms, but I want to pay you out of my pocket. And you'll find that things change.
And actually, Lynn, I did that with one of my kids and they're getting their wisdom teeth out. The first one had insurance. She was older and she was working a part-time job, so she had insurance. And I knew what the wisdom tooth doctor, the oral surgeon, took from the insurance company. So when I went in with the second kid, we didn't have insurance, and I said, look, this is what you took from the insurance to do this procedure. Can you work with us on this? Can you mm-hmm. discount the cash price? And he said, yes, I can.
If it goes to collection, though, if it goes to collection, Steve, would you still negotiate with a hospital, or do you, or is it better for you to still work with a collection agency?
Basically, if it goes to collections, it depends on the situation. I would say, in our case, with the 5 year later trying to get money for the kidney stone that really wasn't owed them, in our case, it was better to go to the CFO of the hospital than to try to deal with the billing department. But what you may have to do is, if it's gone to collections, you've got two options. You can go to thebilladvocates.com and get them to help you, or you can go down to the hospital with your records and meet with the head of the billing department and show them your records. I guess I would try to bypass the collections agency because they don't have any negotiating power. They just, period, they're bulldogs, they just have to get their money. That's it. They don't have any authority to make any changes or to do anything. So I would continue to try to work with the medical provider on that.
It's 10:21. You're listening to Mid Morning. I'm Lynn Ford, and we're talking today with Steve and Annette Economides. They are America's cheapest family and proud of it. They have found ways to save money in pretty much every area of life, whether it's for food or shelter or entertainment or education. This morning we're focusing on medical care, and we'll open the phone lines for you in just about 9 minutes, but you can begin to email us now. MidMorningLive@WBCL.org. We're giving away one copy of their book, America's Cheapest Family, which covers the medical component we're talking about this morning, but all other areas of saving money as well. You have until 11 o'clock to go to the Mid-Morning homepage to register. WBCL is on the air today thanks to the giving of friends like you, and a special thanks to The Child Within, dolls, handmade doll clothes and accessories produced in Montgomery, Michigan, and sent around the nation. Find out more on our business partners page at WBCL.org. What else do we need to know about insurance before we move to prescriptions?
Great. Yeah, there's a lot more to cover, but what we want to talk about is basic health and wellness skills. I was in an actual pediatrician's office one time, and there was a gal in there, and she was just scratched from head to toe. Apparently she had fallen, and her mother, rather than just taking basic first aid skills like soap and water to wash her down, just took her to the pediatrician's office for them to deal with her. And I thought, how ridiculous is that? Where are the basic skills that people should know to deal with?
So all three of our sons were Eagle Scouts in Boy Scouts, and they had to take a merit badge called first aid. And so as a family, we've all learned the basic signs for heart attack, what to do when somebody stops breathing. All of us have gone through CPR training. We know how to stop bleeding. Those are things, basic things that every family should really know how to do. We can't run to the doctor for those kind of things. We need to be able to deal with that ourselves. And it's not hard. They expect an 11 or 12 year old Boy Scout to learn it. Certainly as adults, we can learn those things. So definitely learn the basic steps for first aid, how to deal with bleeding. And then we need to be exercising. I mean, I know this is basic, Lynn, but how many of us get so busy we don't have time to go take a walk, to keep our muscles in shape, to get some cardio? Those are the things that are going to keep us from needing the insurance.
The other things you can think about are having some basic books in your house. There's two that I really love. One is called Prescription for Nutritional Healing, and it really talks about all kinds of herbal and naturopathic ways to cure and heal ailments that you have in your body. The second one is the American Medical Association's medical guide, and you can find those at thrift stores. But basically, it's a book where you kind of put in your symptoms and you follow a trail, and it'll give you all the possible scenarios for what it could be to diagnose. And I'm not saying you should always self-diagnose. Mm-hmm. We do use the doctor, but it's important to have that so you have the basic idea of when is it time to go to the doctor, when is it time to go to the emergency room. Also, for years, we had insurance, but it didn't cover immunizations. And so we went to a county clinic for immunizations, but we always did it when our kids were older. A lot of babies will have severe reactions to those immunizations, and if you just wait till the kids are older, you won't have nearly the issues for
the
them.
County clinics were free.
Mm-hmm.
The county clinic immunizations were free, even for those people who had insurance. So I'm assuming that kind of the same way it will be in Indiana, where the county clinics will have discounted medical care.
I'm smiling because what the two of you have just offered to us in these last 5 minutes is the bottom line. It's this. One way to save money at the doctor's office is not to go to the doctor's office. And so a lot of things that take us there, we can, if we move into preventive mode, so diet, exercise, taking care of ourselves. We talk about this a lot with Dr. Ann Kultz, who's with us monthly, that we really have more to say about our health care than we think we do. Because if we do the preventive side, we will experience greater health, which is going to put more money in our pocket so we don't go to the doctor's office. So, but our mind doesn't go there when we're thinking about medical care and health care. In this huge debate that is ongoing about health care, we don't hear a lot about this component of our responsibility for taking care of ourselves and the things that we can do.
Correctly.
Yeah, let's not get started on let's let the government take care of us, because that would take a whole other hour. But we need to be our own best advocates.
Yes.
And that means we've got to be educated. I mean, we don't trust our walk to God with God to someone else. We've got to relate directly to Him. We've got to do the same with our health care. It's our responsibility. Let's learn to take care of our bodies. And you know, it doesn't mean we have to become doctors, but it does mean that if we have a child with asthma, then we should start reading books on how to deal with asthma and become an expert at it.
Right.
Because we can't just rely on someone else to handle
okay,
that.
Okay, Lynn, so if you're okay, I'd like to move to the next topic, which is getting more out of your doctor visits.
Yes, go ahead.
If you are sick and you go to the doctor, here are ways that you can save more money and get more services.
Well, first of all, make sure you go in with a list of questions. It's so important for doctors to realize you're a person, you're intelligent, you've done some research. I got to the point with my very first pregnancy that doctor was competent and he was excellent, but he was moving quickly from room to room and he had a lot of patients. And it got to the point where probably halfway through my pregnancy, he would come into the room and he would look at me and he would say, okay, what are your questions for today? Because he just knew I always had a list of questions for him. And I was different than all the other patients, and he would patiently just sit there and answer my questions. So, you know, Bernie Siegel from Love, Medicine, and Miracles said that the patients, this is specifically pertaining to cancer, but the patients that got well the fastest were the ones that were a pain in the neck. So make sure you're a pain in the neck and you want to learn everything you can about what's going on with different members in your family. Don't be shy about getting a second opinion. No, like you said, Lynn, no one person is perfect. No one intends to be incompetent. A lot of people are moving very fast, and they have a lot on their plates. So if you feel uneasy about something, trust that intuition and go for a second opinion.
Now here's a practical application of this. Annette's dad is 79 years old now. A couple years ago, he went in for a regular checkup, and his blood sugar, he's been borderline diabetic for years. His blood sugar was at 120 or 130. 3 weeks later, one medication change, they put him on a thyroid medication, his blood sugar was 800. He was almost dead.
Yes.
Yeah, he should have died. He should have been in a coma.
So we're researching things. We're going, you know, doctors are going, well, we don't know what the problem was. He's just instantly diabetic. And I started researching this thyroid medication that had been around for 60 years, and they said, oh, this thing, you know, it's safe for everybody. And I found a research study, and I had to dig through the wording. It was hard to read, but it said that in men over 70, there were all kinds of dangerous side effects. We had to fight with hospitals.
If you started the medication then, which
right.
My father fell into that exact category.
And we had people in the hospital saying, oh, no, you're out to lunch. You don't know. You're not an expert. We had to stand up and advocate for him. As soon as they took him off of the thyroid medication, his blood sugar started to drop. Everything normalized, but he sustained some brain damage from it.
Mm.
And the doctors were not thinking that was a possibility because this medication had been around for so long.
There was also another point in time where we were at the hospital with my dad running around the clock shifts, and they wanted to run all these tests. And I think that's how the hospitals these days make a lot of money, is they order a lot of tests. My dad had had kidney issues early on, and they wanted to do a test with dye for his kidneys. I said, absolutely not. And then she said, well, what about this test and this test? I said, we already figured out what the problem is. It's this stupid thyroid medicine, so just get him off of that and get him stabilized, get his blood sugar normalized, and we're going to get out of here. And she words went back and forth, and I finally looked at her. I said, you're fired. And she was like, what? And after she left, the nurse came up to me, and the nurse said, you have every right to do what you did. If you think that there is a test that could be hurtful to someone you love, you have every right to refuse that test. This is a nurse saying it.
This was the hospital doctor. And basically the hospital contracts with an outside service to bring in these hospitalists. And they're trying to do their job. We understand that. But she was going to run tests that we knew from Dad's history would have hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just starting from ground zero. She never looked at his medical history. She was just trying to solve a problem. But she wasn't going about it in a way that protected him. And that's why we need to advocate. So it's okay sometimes to fire a doctor. You are the one who's supposed to be the expert.
But, you know, the other side is that we are a bit test crazy ourselves as consumers. You know, we ask for antibiotics because we think it's the first course of action. We don't feel well. Give me an antibiotic. And we say, well, this is going on with me. I'd like a test. We're a bit test crazy ourselves, and we need to find that sort of that middle reasoned ground, both as a consumer of medicine, but also as just really well-reasoned individuals, because that's something else the two of you talk about in your book, but also in some of the materials that you sent me, that when our doctors are saying, we want to run these tests, we need to ask a lot of questions about the test. What's the test going to, what information is it going to give you? Are there any side effects? Do we need this test now? Is there another option? What's the course of action? These are the things that will help us not only take good care of our bodies physically, but also help us to really be spending money responsibly.
Agreed.
Lynn, you're so right. You know, an MRI, I mean, those are so commonplace today. If you call around to various MRI facilitators in your area, you're going to find a huge range of prices, anywhere from $400 cash price up to, I think it's $3,000 in a hospital, all for the same product. It just blows my mind that there's that big of a difference. And we had to get an MRI for our daughter's knee, and it turned out that paying cash to one establishment was actually less expensive than using our insurance.
And
it's all research.
And, Lynn, we just want to throw in a special before we get past and just say that anybody that orders anything from our website in the next couple of weeks at MoneySmartFamily.com will get a free 1-year membership, but they have to follow a code for WBCL. Explain that, honey.
They have to put in the WBCL code in the discount code, and we'll give them a free web subscription.
Oh, excellent.
A lot of this information in our article area, where we've written 300 articles that have actually become our books, and they'll have access to that.
Let's take some phone calls from our listeners now. Phones are open, email and Facebook. Phone number is 260-745-9090, 260-745-9090. And I was thinking going into this, your questions would be about how to save money, but perhaps your question this morning is, how can I resolve this conflict I'm having? Because the economists have been there, and maybe they can offer you advice that way. So we're talking about saving money with regard to medical care, health care, how to navigate with insurance. Whatever your question is, give us a call, 260-745-9090, email Midmorning Live. Make sure you put the live there, because that's what gets your email back to us here in the studio, Midmorning Live at WBCL.org, and Facebook is another way to get in on the conversation this morning. A reminder that we're giving away a copy of America's Cheapest Family at the Midmorning homepage. You have until 11 o'clock to register, and we're linking to the Economidas website via the Midmorning schedule page. It's MoneySmartFamily.com. Okay, let's talk about prescriptions, because this study is a bit old. Back in 2005, a study by the Kaiser Family Foundation and the Harvard School of Public Health revealed 51% of Americans take prescription drugs daily, more than half of us. So we're taking prescription drugs. How do we save money on drugs?
Correct. There's a couple of quick ways to do that. The first one is to have your doctor prescribe a 3-month supply or a double dosage that you can split. There's pill splitters everywhere. And I know everything can't be split, so you need to check. But if it's a hard pill, most of the time splitting it is just fine.
And Annette, let me just caution listeners, too, to check with their doctor on that. If
yes.
he's giving you a double dosage in terms of the strength of the medication because you're going to split it, so just because you're splitting the pill in half doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be getting an equal amount. This is something you need to talk to your doctor about, but it is a good way to save money, but check with your doctor first.
Right. And ask for generics. A lot of times the doctors are solicited by all the pharmaceutical companies, and they've got the newest, latest, and greatest thing that they want to prescribe. And there was a time when we were on a vacation, and our son John got pneumonia, and they wanted to prescribe this new antibiotic that was over $100. And Steve called me. I said, no, ask him for erythromycin because it's just a very old standby and it's excellent for lung issues and upper respiratory stuff. And the doctor said, oh, no problem. I can give him erythromycin. And it was like between $10 and $15 instead of over $100 for a prescription.
And something else that I noticed you have an idea of, if it's a new prescription, ask for a small dosage until you're sure it will work. That is such solid advice. And you may even ask your doctor for a sample
yes.
to try before you even get the prescription filled.
Exactly.
Now, if you're on a tight budget, a little lower income, and you are prescribed with an expensive prescription for a chronic medical condition, most drug manufacturers have what's called a patient assistance program.
Steve, you're getting a little soft. You said patient assistance program?
Patient assistance program.
Very good.
So you go to the manufacturer's website, search out patient assistance program, or just Google patient assistance program for, whatever manufacturer. And you'll fill out some paperwork, and you can end up with, let's say it's a $1,000 a month prescription. It may end up costing you like $100 a month or $50 a month, or it may be free, but it's worth it to go investigate the patient assistance programs. It's important. Another thing to remember is when you're shopping around for prescriptions, call places like Costco, Sam's Club, BJ's, because if you don't have a membership, you can go into those clubs and use their pharmacy without a membership and get their discounted prices.
And they have some of the lowest prices around, and that's good to know that you do not have to have a membership.
Yes, that is correct. Another area where people can save a ton of money is on durable medical equipment. And there's all kinds of things from finding walkers or canes or boots, if you need a boot or a wheelchair. We've seen all of those things at thrift stores, on Craigslist. A lot of places around the country have senior centers where you can rent things, even as much as a shower chair. So if you're taking care of an elderly parent. And the rentals are, like out here, we have a big senior community, and it'll be like $5 for 6 months to rent this stuff. So there's a lot of options for getting the durable medical equipment rather than buying it new straight from the doctor.
Okay, now, our daughter Abby, again, had 4 knee surgeries. Our daughter Becky had a knee surgery in a previous year, and post-surgical braces for ACL replacement were $700, brand new from the manufacturer through the insurance company. Well, Abby's going in for her knee surgery and needs a post-surgical brace, so we asked the doctor if we could use the previous one. And he said yes. Saved us a lot of money. We just had to disinfect it and get it as sterile as possible for her. And so that means that if you have a surgery coming up like that where I'm going to need, maybe it's a rotator cuff surgery and you're going to need the sling, or you're going to need a knee brace or something like that that isn't custom fit, go on Craigslist.
Go to eBay
and buy those things in advance and save a ton of money.
I see people on Facebook all the time say, hey, I need a set of crutches. Does anybody have them? That's one of the great things about social media, that you can put a need out there just among your friends and family.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we have, Lynn, we have lent out our crutches several times, and you find them at thrift stores all the time.
Let's head to the phones and take a call from Renee, who has a question this morning. Renee, thank you so much for calling in. We're talking with Steve and Annette Economides. What's your question for them?
Actually, I just talking about what you guys were talking about at the beginning of the program, saving money with the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when I had my son back in 2000, I worked for the hospital, so of course, because of my insurance, I was going to go to that hospital to have him when he was born. And I got a bill from the anesthesiologist who did my epidural for like $800, and I questioned the hospital on it, and I know a lot of hospitals do this. They had to contract out their anesthesiology group. And so I asked them, I'm like, well, I shouldn't have to pay this. I pay my deductible. And they said, well, you can talk to the anesthesiologist group. They told me to write a letter. I wrote a letter to that specific doctor, and they said it was up to him. He wrote it off. So, but
nice.
If I hadn't taken the time to, like, kind of research that and write that particular doctor, I would have been billed $800 and nothing would have been said. But that's just
you're
one
awesome,
way.
Renee,
you know, you kind of
so
have to
smart.
Look into that.
It's being your own best advocate. And that brings up another point, is when you work with a doctor, and you're going in for surgery, you need to ask the doctor what other doctors he's going to contract with and if they're covered on your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Because he may be a contracted vendor on your insurance, the doctor, but the anesthesiologist may not, and maybe an assistant doctor may not. And so you need to make sure you're communicating before you go in for the surgery to make sure you've got that all lined up. Otherwise, you're going to have to write the letters afterwards, and it's going to be a bigger hassle.
Renee, thank you so much for your phone call.
Yep, you're welcome.
You educated us this morning. Thank you. 260-745-9090 is the number, 260-745-9090. Steve and Annette, the rest of us, you included, though you have become somewhat experts on this topic, aren't experts on the medical field, and so we make a lot of assumptions. One of them being that when we have surgery, everything's been taken care of, everyone's been talking to each other, everything's been pre-approved, and sometimes you get caught thinking something, not knowing something had to be pre-approved.
Correct.
To be covered by your insurance, and so asking questions is really important. Is there anything I need to know that's going to cost me money down the road that I'm not aware of? That's a good question to ask your doctor.
Yes, it is. Very good, Lynn.
And it's also good to call the insurance company and say, okay, this is what we're planning on doing. Our daughter is having knee surgery. She's going to need some home health care for infusion therapy. I mean, I was on the phone constantly with the insurance company making sure what things were covered, what sources were going to be the lowest prices. Because with Abby's four surgeries, it was well over $150,000 to $200,000 worth of total costs in billing. And we had to watch every penny. Otherwise, we were going to get wiped out.
Right. So do you want to wrap this up with the 10 ways to keep your body healthy? We've got a few more things to talk about.
Yes, we do. Hang on just a second. We're going to take one more call before we do that. I have a question before we take this caller. Going back to the patient assistance program that you were talking about, Steve, have you ever done this? Because I did it for my mom before she died. She had Alzheimer's, and Alzheimer's medication is expensive, and that was in addition to other meds that she was taking. And so I tried to do this, and it's incredibly time-consuming, and you often have to repeat it every 3 months. You need to get their Social Security. You have to have that form from them, how much money they've made, and then you fill out all the forms, and sometimes they'll deny you anyway. It's not as easy as you would as you think it might be.
Yes.
But when it does work, it's incredibly helpful. But it was very confusing for my dad to try to do. Persistence is the key, and be ready to have them deny that and then be ready to start all over again in 3 months to make
right.
a second application, because most of them will only give you that medication for 3 months, not 6 months or a year.
Good point.
Right. And it depends on the manufacturer. My dad uses it for, it's a shot he has to get every few months, and it is a hassle, but I have to look at the payoff, and that's where helping our parents is so important. Because I imagine, you know, you think about your dad dealing with your mom with Alzheimer's, and he's older, he's dealing with a loved one who is failing. I mean, you can't expect him to do that. He needs somebody to advocate, and that's why as kids we need to do that for our folks. But it is going to be a hassle. But then what's the flip side of it? Can he afford to pay $1,000 a month for the medication? And if he can't, that's where we've got to help.
We have a question that's been called in from a listener who has a daughter, age 19, who is becoming ineligible for state insurance and has some health issues, wanting to know what are low-cost options for this 19-year-old.
Okay, I would go to ehealthinsurance.com. It's a website that we've used regularly whenever we quote our health insurance and look up options. You can get lists. Basically, you put in your information and put in the age and your zip code, and you'll see probably 100 different options. You have to read them carefully because they'll vary based on deductible amount, coinsurance. Some will just be major medical, but that's where I would go with that.
And, Lynn, it's going to depend on how debilitating her illness is, because at 19, they can still be on their parents' insurance if they're in school,
mm-hmm.
if she's taking college classes.
I think that the change is now up till age 26.
Okay, so there you go there. The other thing is, you know, if she's able to work, I don't know how debilitating this is, but if she's able to work, there, like Steve said, there are companies that will offer you benefits for part-time employees. And it's a non-qualifying. So if you get the job, you get the benefits. And we know Starbucks is one of them. Michael's, if you've been there a year or 2 years, I can't remember, they'll give you benefits. And you can always pick up a temporary policy in between that.
This is a good point, Lynn, is we've picked up temporary insurance when we were switching jobs. And temporary insurance will not cover pre-existing conditions, but it can be instantly accessed as soon as you pay it, you're covered. And the policies are not that expensive, but they're only for 6 months to a year. And those are also available on ehealthinsurance.com.
Is that what's called a COBRA plan?
No, COBRA is different. COBRA is if I've been working for an employer, and let's say my premium is $400 a month. The employer has been kicking in $400 a month, so really the premium was $800. I move on to another company. I want to keep my previous insurance.
Yes.
I pay the full $800 to the insurance company that I was covered under with my previous employer. That's COBRA.
Which continues my plan. Yes.
Yes, exactly. But temporary insurance is new insurance, and it's just for a short term, and you can pick that up. Lots of companies offer it, and it's good for a bridge policy between employers.
We'll leave the phones open for just about five more minutes. So if you have a question for our guests of the morning, Steve and Annette Economides. And Economides means son of a steward. Is that why you're so good with money, Steve?
I think that's God's calling on our life. I know that.
260-745-9090. 260-745-9090. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. All right, anything we need to finish up on with regard to prescriptions before we move on?
No, I think we covered most of our notes under prescription.
All right.
What I'd love to wrap it up with is 10 ways to keep your body healthier. And some of these, Lynn, are such common sense, but we just forget about them sometimes. Like, drink water. You know, they say that the average person should have at least 64 ounces a day, and a lot of people are using monster drinks or soda pop, and there's nothing like good, clean water to help flush our body. Wash your hands whenever you've been at public places. That is another huge thing. When our kids were little, whenever we'd go out someplace, they'd be sick within a couple of days, especially mm-hmm. during the wintertime flu season. So we just made it a rule. We always carried Purell with us, and then we always made sure we washed our hands when we came home.
And now let me just jump in for a second I have something to say for each of the things you just mentioned regarding drinking water. An article I just read mentioned that if you're feeling, it's from Prevention Magazine, in fact,
yeah.
that if you're feeling sluggish, especially by the end of the week, fatigued, and you can't figure out why, it may be that you've not been getting enough water all week long, and it's cumulative that by the end of the week, your body begins to pull water from the bloodstream.
Yes.
And so water, very important. And I just watched a video. In fact, this is in Good Housekeeping this month as well. How many millions of paper towels we use every year in this country. And if all of us would just use one paper towel to dry our hands, we would reduce that number by 570 million. Now, you say, how can I dry my hands with one paper towel? You can do it. This video shows you. First of all, you shake your hands.
TED Talk.
Have you seen it? It's amazing.
Yes.
And it's something the way that you fold the paper towel.
Yep. You shake your hands 12 times in the sink.
Yes.
And you fold the paper towel in half. And the guy, it's one of the most memorable TED Talks I've ever seen. I love it. I want to go back to the water thing, Lynn, because a lot of people are doing the, filling their own water bottles. And we've done that here at our home. We used to have a reverse osmosis system in our sink. I took it out because it was wasting water, and I put in a triple filtration system, which gets the water just as pure. And one thing we have to remember for filling our own water bottles is we have to wash those water bottles out. I didn't do this for a while, and I almost threw up looking at the around the rim of the water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much junk on there. We've got to clean it. So I make a habit once a week. I wash it with bleach, clean out the threads, and make sure that my water bottle is clean, because I don't want to be infecting myself
mm-hmm.
with bacteria when I'm trying to save money to stay healthy. So wash your water bottles, drink filtered water, carry it with you. We have a rule, whenever we go out of the house, we're always taking a water bottle with us.
Another simple thing, Lynn, is to make sure you're getting some sunshine. They're saying Americans are deficient in vitamin D, and 20 minutes of sunshine a day will take care of that. And so many of us are going from office building to office building, or even the schools now. Some of the schools don't have windows, don't have any way of getting sunshine, and that's a super important one.
So plant a garden, be outside, go to the park, but do something outside every day where you're getting the vitamin D, getting the sunshine.
And Annette, can you just quickly explain why vitamin D is so important? I know that you're not a nurse or a doctor or a nutritionist, but we've done so many shows on vitamin D with Dr. Ann Kaltz, who is this amazing nutrition guru, talking also with doctors about depression. Vitamin D plays a key role in the health of our bodies.
Well, I think it helps us to process other nutrients. I think it works with calcium. I'm really not sure. You probably could tell us. I just know that it's important.
It's very important, and you're right. Most of us are deficient, especially in the Midwest, because we don't get enough sunshine, and the angle of the sun above the equator isn't as intense. And I mean, there are a lot of things that play into why we don't get as much vitamin D where we're living here in the Midwest. Though you guys are out in Arizona, so you get tons of it out there.
Yeah,
but very important.
We have to be careful.
Yes, yes. Exercise is the next one, Annette.
Yes, exercising, and once again, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be super athletic for this. I mean, it could just be walking down to the corner for a newspaper rather than, you know, driving the car, walking to the mailbox rather than driving there. Simple things, just trying to be more physical as opposed to more electronic.
This is funny, Lynn. We're filling out a life insurance application. And one of the questions was, do you clean your own house? Now, I'm sitting there going, why? And later on, we joined Weight Watchers because we were just a little frustrated with, Annette's such a good cook. I gained 30 pounds in 30 years of marriage. And we decided we're going to lose that weight. So we did. And one of the things that Weight Watchers focuses on is activity. Everyday activity, getting your cardio up. And it's not exercise. They talk about cleaning your house.
Mm-hmm.
Using the vacuum cleaner, dusting. And so now when we clean the house, I'm sitting there going, wow, I am getting cardio. I'm dusting, I'm vacuuming, I'm moving around. So exercise doesn't have to be going to the gym. It can be walking at the park. It can be taking kids out for a walk, riding a bicycle. All kinds of things can help you there. But definitely make that a focus. 15 to 30 minutes a day will really help.
And one of the things that people just don't think about, maybe during flu season they'll think about it more than the rest of the time, but it's to disinfect doorknobs, light switches, phones, computer keyboards. All of those
mm-hmm.
things can be disinfected with either a bleach solution, ammonia solution, even a vinegar solution.
Be careful with your smartphones or your iPhones. If it's a landline, you can use the bleach and whatever, but because the screens of a phone are very, very sensitive, you want to make sure you use the proper product for that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
We ended up putting this as one of the items on our chore chart for our kids that they could choose each day when they did chores. And it just became kind of a normal occurrence in our house. And Annette would say, oh, no, disinfected light switches last week, let's not do that this week. But it just was one of our normal procedures. And it really helped help keep the kids healthier and keep the house clean.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is to learn and research herbs and natural cures. Medications are good, but they aren't the only way. And the science of nutrition has incredibly increased over the past few years. And use of herbs, you know, you have to be careful because they are not as controlled and carefully manufactured as other medications.
And they are medicine.
Yes.
We have found that they have been helpful for us. And so we've got a regular routine where if we get sick, it's echinacea, cat's claw, pau d'arco. Those are things we've learned through different books and going to naturopathic doctors. Those are the things that help us recover faster. Another simple one is we get a sore throat, gargling with hot salt water. It's incredible what it does. So we're learning, we're self-educating how to get natural cures.
Okay, and I know we're running out of time, but I just want to, we've got a special little acronym called KYBO, K-Y-B-O, and it's Keep Your Bowels Moving and Open.
Yes.
And I know it sounds silly, but truly, I don't think Americans eat enough fiber, and they aren't cleaning themselves out on a daily basis. And if you leave stuff in your body, it's going to create a toxic environment. And so, especially if you've used heavy antibiotics, I think a lot of people are aware of probiotics nowadays when they're doing antibiotics, but it's really important to make sure that things are moving through your system on a regular basis.
So bran and prunes, stock up on them.
Thank you for that advice.
This is a crazy one, Lynn, but it's amazing. You know, we love the internet, and YouTube has become a go-to source for me, whether I'm repairing a car, repairing an appliance, or trying to figure out a medical condition. I know this isn't the only way, but I've been struggling with a tendonitis in my hip from a big project we did a year ago in our backyard. And I've gone to doctors, and they've given me some help, but I have found some of the most effective exercises put out there by physical therapists and exercise physiologists on YouTube, believe it or not. It's all part of self-educating, doing our research, but there's incredible resources out there.
And let me just mention one to you, Steve, that you might want to check out if you haven't. Dr. Kevin Jardine, who's out of Canada, who has helped train Olympic athletes and is really on the front end of exercise and using your body as a means of healing itself. His last name is spelled J-A-R-D-I-N-E. Very, very well respected. He's the inventor of that tape that they use on the arms he's really, really good. So he might check him out. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. There's nothing that beats self-education. And that's really where we've got to go. We love books. We've built an incredible health library. We've got, I think, 4,000 books in our house. We've got to become the expert. And it's not overwhelming if it's a chronic condition to go ahead and start doing the research and gather that knowledge. Your doctor will respect you. Your friends will accept your help and love your help. It's just a great thing to self-educate.
Our guests this morning have been Steve and Annette Economides. Their last name is spelled Economides. But if you didn't write that down, that's okay, because you can link to their website, which is themoneysmartfamily.com. You can get there from the mid-morning schedule page. Self-employed authors, 5 kids, they've had no shortage of medical issues and claims, including 1 year they'd rather forget when they spent well over $100,000 in medical expenses. And in spite of those difficult times, they've discovered really many ways to get the coverage they needed while acquiring an immunity to the high cost of medical care. Lots of really good ideas for you in their book, which is called America's Cheapest Family. Wonderful resources on their website. Their blog is a place where they're answering other people's questions, and so you can get some of your questions answered there. A lot of things are free. Some of them you can sign up to be a part of, but you'll get some great resources at the Economides website, moneysmartfamily.com. That's also the name of their latest book, which is a way of educating your kids, helping to raise money smart kids. Our phones have been just kind of a hassle this morning, and I just want to let you all know, as you're listening this morning, that we recognize that, and that that's being worked on. So by the time we get into our new studios at the end of maybe August, early September, we'll have a new phone system as well, and everyone will be able to hear very clearly, including our guests each day. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to catch this this particular interview on our archive, you can do that. Mid-morning is where you're going to head, WBCL.org. Click on Programs, then Mid-morning, and then the Schedule page. Thanks for listening today. We're back on Monday with one of my favorite guys, Rick Johnson, has written a book. He says that men are simple creatures and women really work hard to understand them, but we have trouble playing the guessing game. He's offering some great insight on how men work, how their minds work, and how to really improve your marriage when you understand that. So we'll have a chance for you to listen to those great insights, but also ask your questions on Monday's mid-morning. Stay tuned. Ross is up next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free, WBCL.